Welcome to Season 4, Episode 7 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the question, what would Jesus do? As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about this topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. What would Jesus do? This is a question that many religious people ask themselves when they attempt to decide if a particular decision or activity is right. Their intentions might be good, trying to focus on Jesus and pleasing Him. However, this question is the wrong question. But why is it the wrong question? The problem with it is that it is too subjective. It turns our responsibility into nothing more than what we think Jesus would do in a given situation. Instead of asking a subjective question like this one, what would Jesus do? We should ask questions for which we can find objective and definitive answers in the Scriptures. So in this episode, we're going to consider four different questions we should ask instead. Number one, why did Jesus come? Jesus said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many, Matthew 20:28. Jesus came to earth in order to offer His life on the cross for our sins. This was first prophesied in the beginning when sin was introduced into the world in Genesis 3:15. The Hebrew writer said, "Therefore, since children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives," Hebrews 2:14-15. The Hebrew writer wrote later, Hebrews 10:4, that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, Jesus came in the flesh in order to offer His life and make our sanctification possible. Hebrews 10:10 says, "By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." It is also important to note what Jesus did not come to do. First, Jesus did not come to establish an earthly kingdom. Jesus told Pilate in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so they would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Jesus established a spiritual kingdom, the church, Matthew 16:18-19. Second, Jesus did not come to end sickness and suffering. He certainly did heal people on various occasions, such as Matthew 4:23, Matthew 11:4-5. However, the end of such things will not come until the end of the world. Revelation 21:4 says He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. The end of sickness, suffering, and death will not come on earth. It will be in heaven. Third, Jesus did not come to end poverty. Jesus may have been concerned for the poor, Matthew 11:5, but He also acknowledged that poverty would always exist. He said, "For you always have the poor with you," Matthew 26:11. His mission was not to end poverty. Instead, He came so that the poor of this world could be rich in faith, James 2:5. Fourth, Jesus did not come to bring peace on earth. Jesus said in Matthew 10:34, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." While it is true that angels appeared and praised God after Jesus' birth for the peace that would come through Him, that peace would be among men with whom He is pleased, Luke 2:14, not among all men. Jesus came to make peace between man and God, Ephesians 2:14-16. Jesus came to earth so that He might die on the cross and reconcile us to God. His mission was not to fix all of the world's problems. His mission was to bring many sons to glory, Hebrews 2:10. When we think about why did Jesus come, He came for the purpose of dying on the cross to make salvation possible for us. Second question, what did Jesus do? What would Jesus do is a question that is based in speculation, and people will have different answers for any given situation. So instead, we need to ask, what did Jesus do? This is an objective question, because we can look to what is recorded in the Scriptures. We need to look at what Jesus did, since He is our perfect example. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:21 through 22, that for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Jesus showed an example of complete submission to the will of the Father, just as we are expected to do. Paul wrote in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As Jesus was willing to lay down his life on the cross, we must be willing to take up our cross daily and follow him, Luke 9:23. What Jesus did serves as the foundation of the gospel. Paul told the brethren in Corinth, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. The gospel is based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It is important that we follow that example. Notice what Paul wrote in Romans 6, 3 through 6. "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin." We follow the example of Christ and the pattern that he set. As he died on the cross, he was buried, and he was raised again. We died to sin. We are buried in the waters of baptism, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. We need to look at what Jesus did and follow his perfect example in our lives. The third question, what does Jesus require? Many religious people believe that the Lord simply requires that we believe in him and love him. Yet James made it clear that belief without obedience is useless. He said in James 2:26, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." Jesus indicated that love without obedience is not real love. He said in John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So what does the Lord require of us? We are to believe, we are to love him, but what are we to do? First, we must obey the gospel. Each account of the Great Commission records different details about it. But if we put them together, we get a complete picture of what is involved in obeying the gospel. Notice the passages that record the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Mark 16:16 says, "He who believes and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." In Luke 24:46 and 47, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem." To obey the gospel, as we put all of those together, to obey the gospel requires belief, repentance, and baptism. We must obey the gospel. Second, we must observe his commandments. We already considered the need for obedience, but notice that Jesus was sure to include this immediately after giving his apostles instructions regarding baptism. New converts were to be taught to observe all that the Lord commanded, Matthew 28:20. We must observe the same commandments today. Third, we must continue in his word. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." It is important that we continue to study, learn, teach, and practice his word. Fourth, we must take up our cross and follow him. Luke 9:23, he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The Lord requires us to be willing to sacrifice our lives for him. Paul wrote in Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Yes, we must do more than just believe in Christ and profess our love for him. We must do what he expects us to do. We must know what he requires. Fourth question, what will Jesus do? The scriptures teach that Jesus will come again. After Jesus ascended to heaven, two angels said to the apostles, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Acts 1:11. What will Jesus do when he returns from heaven? It will not be to establish a kingdom on earth, as many erroneously believe. Instead, he is coming to judge the world. Matthew 16:27, the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. When Jesus comes in judgment, he will reward those who have been faithful, and he will punish those who have not been. Sadly, there will be many who will be surprised by their sentence at the day of judgment. Jesus said in Matthew 7:22-23, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We need to try to avoid surprises on that day, because then it will be too late to change. Rather than following the subjective standard of what we think will please the Lord, we need to follow the objective standard of the Word of God. John 12:48 says that his words will judge us in the last day. So in conclusion, the Word of God is objective truth. It is fixed and unchanging. The psalmist wrote, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119:89. Paul said, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed." Galatians 1:8 and 9. The truth contained in God's word is settled, and we have no right to change it. So the question, what would Jesus do? This might be a well-intentioned question, but it is too subjective. We need to ask the objective questions we have considered here. Those questions where we ask, why did Jesus come? What did Jesus do? What does the Lord require? What will Jesus do? Ask those questions and find the answers in the scriptures, so that we might serve the Lord as he expects us to serve him. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we'll be talking about celebrating the birth of Jesus. Until then, I hope you have a great week.